doesn't even worry him much, no.
These white people don't, they don't care just to sell their boats afloating. They don't care about.
Well, blame me for wanting to get that man, what's his name, Lane?
Yeah.
For wanting to show you that old bailer, and if he knew it wouldn't work, then he must have did.
Just offering to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't appreciate things like that.
Mr. Miles, I'm going to get my block myself. Got my big mouth, but you know I got to look out for myself. I ain't got nobody to look out for me. And that man done me a dirty deed about my seed. We wouldn't have noticed it yet, but Marvin called him up to ask him about some fertilizer.
Well, he didn't even tell me he had quit. He was going to bring
me. And then that rascal come back out here and call me and want me to bring me some more fertilizer. I told him I was done with him and the Florida Mutual. Farm Mutual.
I don't care about that mutual.
Would you have some pickles?
You know what they've got now. You may know more about it than I do. They've got some boys running that.
Yes.
And them boys that'd rather be running around somewhere. Now, they do a lot of work, but they not much interested in it, as far as I can find. And they started off with fairly reasonable prices, and they're getting higher as they go along. You go in there and try to buy.
Would you like to have some butter, Mr. Long?
Buy a.
I got.
No, ma'am. No, I never eat it. I'm just eating fine. I'm eating a sandwich in this good business.
Fried potatoes.
Had you rather have some light bread?
No, I'd rather not. Mm-mm. I wouldn't eat those stuff if it didn't have anything else. You all have cornbread sometimes, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
We never have any.
I'm a big cornbread eater.
Huh.
You can't eat it, or you just don't like it?
We just don't have it.
You know Miss Todd looks bad, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
She looks like she feels bad.
She looked bad today, huh?
I'm going to tell you something. I don't see how in the world she stands in this dish. I love Mr. Don and I like Ms. Don, but it don't hurt my feelings a bit. If you don't come see me, Mr. Miles, I just can't stand you.
And it's going all directions.
And whatever you tell one not to do, that's what he's going to do. Like that little girl out there with that horse.
I tried my best to get her
out. That scared me to death when I seen her out there standing over there. And trying to get her to come out, and I'm scared to run.
Yeah.
So I just take my time trying to get out there and beg her to come around.
Well, you saw me from the very start. When he come up there at his back, I was just trying to get her to back.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't afraid. She wouldn't move.
But that one was.
Yeah, don't fly.
Well, you can't trust a horse, especially when you don't know. And the ones you know.
Well, I know that one.
It's good. If you all can have this and tractors too, I think you're pretty well to do.
Might not have it.
May not keep on having it, huh?
But you know, it's been a mystery to me. We got to run around in front of people to work. We got to run around and other people to put out fertilizer. Why can't things be like they used to be? Now, I got the money. If you got the stuff, if you want to sell it, you come to me and see if I'll buy it. But they won't do that. They don't quit that.
They sure have. I tell you, the world changes fast now. Mom, you just don't know how to live in it.
It's true.
People don't care nothing about one another, and they don't care nothing about how the other fellow fares or anything about it.
You don't hear much of that, of how the other fellow fares. Very much.
I'm sorry, we haven't got anything for you to eat.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I don't know that I was invited over here to dinner.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever go to the Santa Fe Tractor Company for anything else without you know somebody else is on it. I think old Padgett is, everybody got one out of them there. I mean, you know, as far as being honest about anything, having about anything.
I'm glad to know about him.
When them salesmen come by me and I said, what y'all get here?
That was that stopwatch.
Hey,
I can't think of his name.
500 and something. And I said, well, I can't own one. I can't pay that. Padgett, he come and he was talking to me about the hay bale. And I said, well, how about, what do the rates? He says they over $500. 500 and something. Mm-hmm. 560 or 40 or something. And I said, well, it ain't nothing used for the bale. I don't have a rake and I sure can't buy this one. And then he told me, he says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, then it's you and Marvin. He says, I'll let you have this on for 23. And I said, you mean they brand new? They have been new. They've never been new.
I don't believe so. Of course, now the rake is not a left type rake, it's a full type rake. But it is a PTO driven. So he said, I haven't seen it.
Why would you need a left type rake?
I'd rather have a full type.
I never saw one.
I've seen them, yes, but I tell you.
They are pretty good.
I tell you, it's a lot of times you know that you can only level so much with a left type. Sometimes you got to go this way, or you got to go this way, or you got to go straight.
Yeah.
But if you get a hold of one of them cranks, you can pick it up that high, or you can pick it up that high with your bars, with your left. And your bars, you can only go so much,
about
like that. And the other side is driving. So, therefore, I'd rather have the one the pull time.
That's all I ever knew about. You know, that makes me feel sort of sad.
What?
He did that.
We used to have one.
Yeah.
It was wore out, and Mark used it behind the truck.
Yeah, he got one.
And he, from having him to use his rake, I tried to buy that. But no, sir, he didn't let me.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have a good rake, but this old rake, I borrowed this from Mr. Patterson. He wasn't using it. He said just keep it as long as he called for it.
Well, how about Mr. Patterson? Did that sound out?
Yeah.
And somehow I told Marvin he's bought it.
Frank, well, don't you know they had that little house right down in the corner?
That little house right in the corner there.
Mr. Patterson owned that. I don't think he ever wanted it, but some member of his family bought it and he couldn't pay for it. And he just got a hold of it. That's what happened.
I reckon you think I'm one of these kind of fine talk with everybody that I see, but I don't like her either.
Ms. Patterson?
I sure don't. One time I had a little puppy here and she wanted me to give it to her and I said, no, sir, you can't get that dog. I said, that's my favorite. And you doggone it, she didn't beat me here and come and got that puppy, picked it up and carried it off. And we hunted for the dog. And come to find out, I seen her months after that, and she told me she come got it.
How long that been? A long time ago?
Yes, it's been a long time ago. I never have had no more use. Now, you know that was a dirty trick. That weren't her dog. But she come got it.
She picked it up. She didn't. In a way, she stole it. Because we didn't know where it went for a couple of months, 3 months later, why she said she got it. So, from pure stealing it, she just
Marvin,
took it.
Pastor Jim.
Well, let me think. They used to have a mill right down there.
Uh-huh.
Right
down
there.
That.
As a matter of fact, that barn, that's built out the lumber that's sold.
Right here?
And one time over there, they had something wrong with the cows. I don't know. That's been years ago. And they died over there in bunches.
Huh.
And yeah, they'd slip them over here between here and the River Styx and drive them inside the pasture. And they had five or six out there dead. Big cows. Well, they didn't care just because they got them off their property, see? They didn't care whether their cows had a disease or not. Just drug them off of their system and stood there carrying someone and burning them.
You won't run across them any better, I don't
You
think.
Just won't never find anybody that won't take it anymore. And you know, I put off and put off and put off, I was going to go to see her, and I never did.
But I tell you, Ms. Guthrie, one reason I think Ms. Hammer is as far as she is.
Mr. Guthrie's been married before. And Mr. Guthrie was pretty well fixed. He had plenty of property in Gainesville and
Tampa. Let me get you some more coffee.
Just fine, just right. Thank you.
And got a stack of letters in there from the lawyer right now. The lawyer wrote to him and people wrote to him about his home. And his first wife left him. And this your family of people living right down the road here. Mr. Guthrie told me just a few days. Of course, I'm just talking to you. He got awfully upset. He had me a will made in 1948. And one day he was sitting in there and he says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go up there and get them papers and take them to a good lawyer and see if there's been any changes made. He said, if they not right, he says, I want them fixed right and I want them fixed now. And I said, well, Mr. Guthrie, you know I'm not supposed to bother them unless you get homesick first. He said, yeah, but that'll be too late. So I got Mr. Dodd to go with me and Mark. Because I want, you know, if anything should come up, and then I want the witnesses. And we went over there, and I went to Mr. Adkins and carried him to Mr. Adkins, and Mr. Adkins read him. And he said, one of them is Gus, it's all right. But he said, the other one ain't worth a deed. And I said, what's wrong with it? He said, somebody scratched your name out. Well, I said, they couldn't have, Mr. Adkins, because I was in Gainesville today. They was fixed, and I was very wanted to put them in the safety box, and they've been there ever since. And he said, well, it just ain't right.
Well, somebody had taken your name off of it. That's right.
So I come back home. I told him what Mr. Guthrie said. And I said, now, Mr. Adkins, he wants these fixed, and he wants them fixed now. And that was in February.
February.
I got a copy of it. And he said, before Saturday night comes, he says, I'll guarantee him that everything will be fixed, just like he wants it. And Marvin told him, said, well, I tell you what, said, we don't know what Mr. Guthrie wants. Suppose you come out there and talk to him. He said, I'll be there. So he come out here. Him and another lawyer.
You
can. And Mr. Guthrie told him how he wanted everything fixed. He wanted me to have everything because I had been here. And I'd worked hard and I'd stuck to him through thick and thin. And he wanted me to have it. He wanted me to be taken care of. And I asked Mr. Guthrie, I said, don't you think that your two children, Morris and Allie, you should consider them? He says, I already have. He says, I can give them what I want them to have.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I don't know all my things. And I begged Mr. Guthrie. I said, I don't think it's right. And you know that they'll be sore. Well, he says, I don't care if they are. But he had Mr. Adkins to fix things like he wanted. So Mr. Adkins and the other lawyer come back out here and drove them. Papers and read them to him. He said, that's the way he wanted. He said, well, sign his name to it. So he told us, he says, I want every one of you just leave him alone. Don't none of it bother him at all. Let him take his own good time and sign it, and he did. And this here boat knight uncle is the one that married his first wife.
I think he had a bunch of property in Tampa that he gave them.
Yeah, he had a bunch, and this year Mr. Woods, his wife, Mr. Guthrie told me that they had everything here packed up, was fixing to move to Tampa. And he said, he didn't tell me how he found it out, but they were going to get him to Tampa, and they were going to do away with him. And then she was going to come back here and marry Madison Johnson and have a farm. That's what she wanted. That's what Mr. Gus told me. I wasn't here. I didn't know anything about it. Excuse me. Mr. Gus told me was his best friend. She left here, she sued him for everything that he had. Mr. Guthrie sold all his furniture and everything, and said that the lawyer wrote and told him, said, that woman's going to put you in jail if you don't pay her alimony. He said, well, I'll just go to jail. Well, you can feed me, but I ain't giving her a penny. But it kept on. I got letters writing. I just told Barney the other day I want to carry them to Gainesville and put them up.
Mm-hmm.
And her lawyer finally wrote to Mr. Guthrie and told Mr. Guthrie that if he would give them the property in Tampa, that she would leave him alone and call it square.
Uh-huh.
So he willed the two children his property in Tampa.
Oh.
He gave that to them.
So she had the use of it.
Yeah, sure. She lived on it.
But it went to the children.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm.
And his old son-in-law, his daughter's husband, come here not long ago and was sitting at the table. They don't know it. They don't know that he's got things fixed for me. And Glenn Smith said, Mary says, I got just this much to say. And his daughter says, Glenn, you hush. Don't you say nothing. I said, let him go ahead and finish what he wants to say. And he said, well, if you ever get married, and Allie says, Glenn, I said for you to not say nothing. She said, you just hush. He wanted to tell me that if I ever got married, I could just get off the place.
Yeah.
And I wish he would.
They don't know this is well made.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The will has never been read, and this past weekend, Louise gave a big blowout.
Yeah.
Louise Graham.
So she called his people from Tampa. And so they all come down and said they wanted to come down to the blowout, and they wanted to talk to me, and I said, well, good. And that's the only reason why they called me at home is because I wanted to hear what they had to say. And I called up Andy Adkins in Gainesville, and I told him that his people said they were going to come down and have to talk, and I said, what do you want me to tell them? He said, don't you tell them nothing. And he says, I'll be around, and he said, if you need me, give me a ring. And you know he went over there?
Yeah, he went over there.
He said, now's a good time to start it. He said, I wish they would.
Miss Guthrie told him that she's going over there. He said, he'd be around.
And he was there.
He wanted
them to say something. He said that he hated to start it, but he just wanted one of them.
He wants them to make the first move towards anything, and then he'll have his say. But that's what he said. Now, what do they call it? He could go ahead and
probate
it. Probate it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he'd rather not. What he wants them to do.
He said, as long as they kept quiet, he would too.
Gotcha. That would cost her money to go ahead and have probate.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he's trying to hold down.
Yeah.
Told me, he said, just go ahead, just like you've been going. He said, plant all the grass you can, raise all the cattle you can. Papa ain't even got a cattle here. He ain't had him since 48 because I bought him out and got it recorded, but they don't know it.
Oh, really?
It's recorded in the court. I ain't it bothered.
Yeah.
Well, they don't know all this, and
they
some
don't
of
know.
These days, I reckon they'll be a seller.
They're going
to
find it out.
Yeah.
And they're going to be mad when they do, I reckon, but
yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it. But, I mean, that, no, Mr. Guthrie's dead gone, but that was his wishes, and I can swear to it on the stand. Because he told me all about it.
Mr. Dodd, he told
me. As a matter of fact, I witnessed the will.
About anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, he don't mind the work. But he gets that head made up. And it's, now, I think that's wrong, Marvin. I think your idea of it is wrong. And I think I've probably had more experience with these sort of things than you've had, because I have built a number of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what. Now, you see, you don't have to pay a bit of attention to what I say. But I just say it from my experience. The cheapest you can put it up, the best. And the lighter the material, the better it is. Just put it up there and don't even square it.
Just put it up and put the main thing is put a metal top on it. That's what you think.
You just want just moderate framing and some little bracing, you know. Because, now I'll tell you another thing. Now you see this don't cost you. That thing, I don't charge you this advice. You would be way yonder ahead to build two small ones than one big one.
Well, I've thought that myself.
Yes, sir. Because the further up off the ground you get, the bigger your framing's got to be.
The bigger your framing's got to be, and the harder it is to get the hay up on.
That's right. Now, Robert Williams got one up there. You could get all the hay you could put up all summer under that. It's so big. But he got it, needs the elevator to get up there. And I'd now, Mr. Guthrie, you all can just laugh about this all you please. See, I'm no carpenter. I seem like when I come to think about it, I ain't nothing. I don't know much about anything. But you know, just along the line, you pick up certain ideas,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hipped on this. One of my friends up there, I brought up with him. And he's got this curious idea.
There's somebody out there raising saying at the front. I don't know what's going on. Let me check.
He's got this curious idea, Mr. Guthrie, that you, whenever you build something, or put up something, or do something, you want it to last a whole generation, including his fences. Now, I think a fellow ought to have a good boundary fence. Not as good as Fred Wood put up over yonder, though. He put too much money in that fence. But just cross fences, you don't need hardly anything. As generous as your cows are, you see. Electric fences.
Yeah? Marvin's out there in the yard with him. See how dumb he is? And they drove up a bunch of drunk, a car load of drunk niggers out there in the backyard. And he didn't even let the game warden know that they were drunk and they was going in here hog hunting.
Well, I didn't know it while
well,
he was in.
Suppose that I'd have been here by myself.
Well, I didn't know that the niggers was drunk. He was leaving.
But right here at the back door, and weren't us so could have been. I could have been right here by myself.
On these, and it don't take any time. No time. See, I put that up myself in a day. I had a little help. I had all the material there. We put it up and lined it up one afternoon, the next afternoon. Of course, not lined up, but.
Well, I got a little old shed down yonder, too. A little water hole down there.
It wouldn't hold about 10.
It wouldn't hold much, but Well, what it is, I think it's just a 8 by 12, or 8 by 6, no, it's 8 by 16,
mm-hmm.
I believe it is. But I got it set up on cross ties.
Yeah.
Just use cross ties around it. It's plenty high enough.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, to drive equipment on it,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
You know, I figured this way too. And you don't need the substantial stuff. You see, they're put up, they're just as good as this house.
Why, sure.
The way they're put up.
Sure.
Well, you see, you don't need that. Then you don't need any siding at all. You see, not for heat.
You wouldn't think so?
Not for heat.
Well, not without you got some real hard blowing rains. Would wet it up, wouldn't it? I mean,
just get one side.
Yeah.
Well, now you see, that's, I'd have to think on that. He kind of has a thing. But Robert doesn't have any on his. And his is about 4-story, you know.
Well, you know, if hay doesn't get soaked, a little water don't hurt it anyway.
A little water don't hurt it anyway, yeah. Like you said about your haystack.
That's right. It's got to get soaked if it hurts it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it'll turn it dark on the side if it's exposed to the weather.
Yeah.
It'll turn it dark down.
Yeah.
I mean, on the inside, it's good.
Yeah.
She should have come with you.
Yeah.
Well, she would have, except she went to Ocala with me this morning. And she sort of put out with me. She stayed long as she wanted to stay. But she had, Mama gave us some of those Blue Seal tickets. You know, like you get in the store, Blue Seal, something like that, Gold Seal.
Gold Seal.
Gold,
yeah.
Bond.
Gold Bond. Right?
Yeah.
And she had to take them down there to that outlet in Ocala. So that's...
Yeah, old Woodard Coleman, old colored man.
I know what it
is.
His wife wants me to keep her down there. I think she said she had 10 books.
You know,
well, now let me tell you. Fred Wood handles Gold Seal tickets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one to send them in. He don't
sure
have to carry it
sure
down there. He can just send them in.
All he's got to do is carry them to him.
But
yeah,
what she wants, I reckon, is to go pick out her stuff.
Well, she got a catalog.
She got a catalog.
She's going to pick it out of a catalog and say, this is what I want. I just,
yeah,
I think she just wants to go and see it before she,
mm-hmm,
she gets it.
She wants to see
but,
it.
I started to say,
well,
you know, they don't
take her down there if I knew she wanted where she was going.
You know, they don't make niggers like they did old Woodard,
yeah,
and his wife,
yeah,
every day.
That's right.
That's true. They're independent. Both of them just as independent as they can be,
yeah,
but they don't bother nobody.
They wouldn't do you in. They wouldn't.
That's right.
They wouldn't.
Now,
would you
come over and do anything for
I
me
can,
that
yes,
can
sir. Anything,
yes,
in the world if we want him
he
to do that,
little,
he can do.
He took a little life out of me one,
yeah,
time. I,
yeah,
went,
yeah,
over there. Marvin sent me over there to tell him something he wanted to do to me.
That's using bell fence.
Yeah.
And the old car wouldn't start.
Yeah.
And so Woodard, he got out his old truck, you know, and he was going to come get Marvin to come get me. So he got turned around, and I went and hopped up in the back of the truck. If he knew I'd been in the back of that,
why,
truck, he wouldn't have.
It wasn't
a
left home, I'll guarantee.
He's been afraid some white person had seen me back there. But I did. I sat in the back of his whole little old truck.
Yeah.
And I'm on home. I don't know. There were some people down there fishing. I don't know what they thought.
White woman down that river stretch one time. I think it's a young couple. And, the old man had, they'd had a spat, but anyhow, the old man had went off and left her.
Mm-hmm.
Now and then, she waved Woodard down here. She wanted him to carry her to Evanston, where she could call the law, and he just told her, he says, lady, he says, since I'm black and you white, he says, I think the thing for me to do is to go and get some white person to come and pick you up, or I'll go and get somebody to call the law for you. He says, I think that'd be the best. So he drove off.
Yeah.
And he went to the woods and got some of the woods just to come pick her up. He wasn't about for that woman to get in his truck.
Yeah.
And the same would have went with her.
Yeah.
He told her to stay there and he'd come and get me, so he'd come after her.
Yeah.
But as soon as he got turned around, she just eased up in the back of the truck and he didn't know she was in there, so she'd got home.
Yeah.
But I bet you from then on he looked in the back of his truck when he left home.
Yeah.
I bet you that. Mama,
let me tell you.
I'm glad you brought it up because I intended to tell Mama about Mr. Dunn got into that.
It can tie you down for weeks.
In other words,
there
I want to tell you something.
Week or two.
I want to tell you this. Then it is for talking, and I done told Marvin. My tractor and my hay baler ain't leaving here to work for nobody unless it be you and right across there. I'm not buying it.
Well,
to be able to make a fortune. I'm buying it because I got to have
it. You got
to
have it yourself.
Anybody within
home. I told Marvin, I said, it don't go no further than Mr. Miles's right across there.
But now these people right across here will say, I don't think they're going to have their mold. I don't think they have, well, they got a sickle, they got a rotary type, but they don't want to cut with no rotary type.
Mr. Dodd went slap on the other side, way on the other side, out to the muck farms.
So if I was to go down there and mow that, and it rained every day where I couldn't pick it up. Well, clover's pretty easy to run. So was indigo.
Yeah.
So a 3 or 4 day rain, well, you know it wouldn't be any more good. All I'd lose there would be the mower.
Oh, no.
Hmm?
You've got to get that off the ground. You can't walk off and leave it.
If it's not any good.
You can't leave it on the ground.
You gotta rake it in.
You've got to get that stuff off. That's a disheartening thing about it. Oh, that's it. That just works the pie out of you. That's a hard, you know how it is. It's that old spoiled hay. It's such hard work, and then you know you're not getting anything out of
that's
it.
That's right.
Well, tell you the truth, we ain't buying it. You never make any money. We just buy it.
Mostly for our own staff.
We got to have.
Because
yeah.
We, it's,
yeah.
Like you said last night.
Would you have some more coffee?
No, I need to go on home and let you all get your business done.
Where are you going
to
do nothing but sit around here?
Tell you what, I just can't get over this new day. It seems like the sun rose and it's not raining anymore. Yeah. I declare to goodness, I never knew anything would change my outlook so much.
But you don't
know. Well, I hope you feel better.
I was aiming to come over here this evening and tell you what the man said down there. But it's a relief to you now. You don't have to even consider what he said down there.
Well, I don't think we're going to have any bale before the middle of August. I think we will have some by the middle of August. I
mm-hmm.
think our hay will be getting pretty ripe by then.
Yeah, and you can get to it right on the dot.
But
ain't that nice?
Here's what I thought. Since it's Pangola, if we get a 10-acre field today, we'll jump in there tomorrow or the next day and put a little more fertilizer on that, and we ought to get another cutting on
that's
that,
right.
that field before
that's right.
by the first of November.
Yeah, yeah. Just put on that second go-around, just put a little nice.
Yeah, it'd be short, but it'd be great.
You don't care. If it doesn't get big enough for hay, you can have it for your cow.
Sure. Well, it'll get big enough for hay because, let's see, it'll have September, October. It'd have 2 months at it. Get on up and grass that high. Good
yeah.
hay.
What a great. Yeah. Yes, sir. I'll help you with your
deal.
Let's look. Tell Mr. Miles over here and show him our family.
Well, he says he needs to go home.
Well, he hasn't got to go home.
Yeah, I haven't seen you, Pamela.
We
I got to go over there.
And I'd like you to go in to our other place and
Yeah, I've got to go over there. That's where I intended to build a shed, is over there, because I need a shed bad. That's where all the hay is.
Oh.
Is over there.
And
I have to haul it from
over there.
Well, I'm going to have enough, I hope. We got about 8 acres out there.
But I can't go
looking
at
I wouldn't put it over there.
What?
I wouldn't put it out of my sight.
You wouldn't?
No.
Well, it stands a chance of it burning down, though.
Yeah, barring. People barring.
Well,
let me tell you.
Barring the hay?
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about them barring the hay. I locked the gates on them now, but they can always go.
Yeah.
And the hole will lose the hole.
Would you like to have some more coffee?
No, thank you. You haven't seen my long trailer wagons.
Yes, you can.
I think I have. The two-wheel, but you got it. Yes, sir, I've seen it. I like it very much.
They're the most useful thing that I've ever seen. Now, what you can do with them, you see, is to put your hay in there and just put it on over there.
Well,
and they'll eat it out of that, you see. And then next time you go over there, pull it back.
I have a four-wheel wagon. And 14 feet.
Yeah.
I believe that's what it is. It's either. No, I believe it's 13 because I made a 14 and I was extending it over about so long and I found out that I had to cut about a foot off of the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it wasn't even.
Yeah. A lot of these things I don't know about, you understand, but I have faced a whole lot of these things. See, I got to the point there where I was set up for silence. I mean, I went into it that much. And then I saw that if I made anything of it, I wouldn't be able to handle any of it by hand. I'd have to do it all by machinery, and I didn't want to get into that much machinery. I'd have to put it on the ground, not put it down, you see, just put it on the ground. And then I'd get me a little front-end scoop and put it in something to haul it with. And when I got out there in the field, I couldn't even unload it. I'd have to let it unload itself. Now, you see, it got to that point. And I don't think, for one thing, it just took that burn much work in handling it. Now, you got a little margin, you see, in your
that's
animal.
Right.
So I've fought this dad burn thing, you know. I've tried to cut corners, and I found those little old push trailers. So you can put one on the front of your trailer, one behind, or a couple of them behind.
That's the only objections I have to the one we got. It's a four wheel outfit, and I wish we'd have balanced it now and made a two wheel outfit out of it, because you can't bike them. That four-wheel job, it doesn't bike.
It's pretty hard.
Well, you can bike it a little bit, but it's mean.
Two-wheel, for example.
Two-wheel, I can put a two-wheel anywhere I want it to go, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, just let me go home and set this thing over. You're going to stay in business. You got to have something to work with.
Because Miss Dollar, the way she talks, time that dealer they had was financed and everything went wrong right at $3,000. The way she talks now.
Uh-huh.
All I know is what I've heard her say. I've never heard him say.
Yeah.
Well, she said the farmer said that he'd never start to be looking to strike an offer like that.
He knows about
she
it.
She said, yeah, he was there.
Oh, yeah.
When I was talking to her about it, and I told her I had bought Marvin a new hay baler and
oh, that's a birthday present. You didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, wait a minute, let me tell Verma. And so she told Verma, and she told Verma what I said the man charged me.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I would never be that lucky. I hear you say that.
Mm-hmm.
I would never be that lucky to strike a deal like that.
Yeah.
But we didn't give the man. He told us to come home and think it over and sleep on it. And I told him, I said, told Martin this morning, and I said, I stayed awake all night, and I will not toss my tongue on trying to figure out something that promised me. So I just called him up and told him it was a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So
you already called him?
Yes, I called him the first thing this morning.
Mm-hmm.
He said, just let him know what day. He said he'd bring it out Monday, Tuesday, or any day on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Be right on out with it.
Oh, it's good. If he says it's good,
then
it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I got that much confidence in it.
Oh, yeah.
So he said to any day, he said he said to, we want it, they're going to spring it right on, both of them right on out.
We got into
so
it.
I guess he'll bring it out Monday or Tuesday.
Got into it with him with that tractor. He got a tractor, and we was trying to plant that place out yonder in grass, and it was hot, and And I was aggravated and couldn't get nothing done and tore up the little tractor we had then and traded it in on a second hand thing they had up there because it didn't have a new one. And
You had to have something.
I had to have something and got out there and the blame wheel froze up on it. And I didn't know what was wrong. I thought I did, but I wasn't sure. I got in here and I called them. I said, something wrong with that. I said, something wrong with that old tractor. I says, he's got a mechanic he can send out here. Well, you better send him on out here and let's get it rolling. So I told him the way it sounded. Oh, he said, yeah. We can have that thing going in 15 minutes. Send a mechanic out here. I said, get on it and see what it is. I said, now that this side over here is froze up. It just won't turn. He got on there and it moved a few feet. Yeah, he said, I know what's wrong with it. He said, the brake drums, the shoes is coming loose from the drum. And you fix them? Yeah, I'll have it fixed in a few minutes. He tore it up and then the fuse was perfect. They were just as perfect as they could be. He put it down and he said, I'm afraid you got a froze wheel bearing.
Hmm.
And he had his transport with him. He drove it out here. He said, well, he says, I'll have to carry it to town to put one in it. I haven't got one. And he said, I couldn't put it in it out here anyway. So I said, well, how are you going to get it loaded? Oh, he said, I'll load it. No. So he put the brakes on that other wheel and made that froze up and kind of crawl in there. Up on this transport and got to town and started unloading it and it froze up and it coming backwards and run off of the thing and busted the hub and the housing, you know, the bearing house, wheel bearing housing.
Mm.
They didn't have one then.
Mm.
They were supposed to have it ready the next day and out here and it didn't come and I called them and asked them about it and said that they had the older one, and they'd have it in a couple of days. A couple of days passed, and I went up there. And they didn't have, still didn't have it. They just sitting back down the jacks. So, it was looking forward that then they'd have it the next morning. Well, by 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock coming, they didn't have it. I got on the phone and I called Peggy. I said, y'all got any tractors up there? No. I says, you got that other one fixed? No, he said, we can't get parts. He said, we've got a backhoe on it. I said, that ain't no good. I says, I tell you what, I said, just forget that we haven't made a deal and we can get our money back on that tractor. I said, we'll go somewhere where I can buy a tractor. I said, we've got to have a tractor. And I says, it don't look like you people is gonna do any business up there. I said, so you don't know when you're going to get that new one in that you was talking about. No, he says, I don't. And he said, well, he says, I'll tell you, I'll be out there to see you. About that time I heard a hee-haw. He said, wait a minute. And he says, just hold the line just a minute. I want to go to the front. He says, I think I see the new one coming now. And he was gone about 3 or 4 minutes. He says, that new one just come in. He said, you want it? I says, yeah, I reckon so. I says, how fast can you get it out? And he says, it takes time. He said, I got to take that thing down and inspect it and grease it. And, you know, get it set up.
Take them plastic bearings or whatever it was out of it.
So, he says, a couple hours, be too long. I said, well, if that's just... as soon as you can get it in, no, it won't be too long, but I'd rather have it sooner. A couple hours to come rolling out here with it. And we've had it ever since.
Yeah. And that's the only trouble you had with those...
that point, that point, plastic
point. Plastic point, yeah. Yes, you know, there's a lot of ways to lose what little money that you're going to make. And, you know, 20 or 30 cents is not much when you're taking it in. It may be a lot when you're spending it. for baler hay. But that, I've seen old Robert Williams over there just turn that day after day. And then you see what happens is the dad burn stuff not any good after he takes it up, or not much good. But he got to go ahead and take it up. And I think he has to do all that turning. I sure wouldn't want to get in that.
If you got a contract with the state, I know this much about it. If you got a contract with the state will pay you so much a ton for this hay. Even if it's bad hay like that, something the cows can't eat,
yeah,
they'll pay you so much a ton for it and put on the road beds, you know.
Yeah.
But I imagine that that's the way he does business. He probably will bail it for the hay.
Uh-huh.
Well, I couldn't do it. I don't have a contract with him.
Yeah.
Probably be hard to get one.
I don't know what his contract is.
But I have an idea that's what he does. He probably doesn't lose any actual money, probably doesn't make any either.
I just know how much work he puts in on it over there. And he got all that equipment, I'll tell you, see, just spinning around all for so long. And it rains, it's just little old showers, see, he got to do it all over again.
Sure.
I'm trying hard to get out in the field and get to work.
Yes. It does both good anyhow.
Yeah.
It keeps
on
leaning.
You all been out to see about the save hay.
No. It's easy. His arrangement there is easy. He doesn't have to handle it. He just sews it off in there. But he got a lot of time and money and all that shit.
Sure
you don't need all that.
Miss Mom, you know, there's one thing that I want to say, and it ain't a bit of my business, no way, shape, form, or fashion, to open my mouth back, because it don't concern me one bit anymore. But they got a room on the back of their house that way, and if you haven't seen in it, I wish you could see in it. It's got everything in the world that a young one would want to play with. They've tired of. They don't want it no more. They take it and put it in there to keep them from, and then go buy more.
Oh, really?
That isn't a thing in the world, but pure wastefulness is.
That's our wasteful. I hadn't noticed that.
Well, I've been in there, went in there the other day.
That's where they're living.
Uh-huh. Got
an
electric train. And last Christmas, Mr. Miles, I bet you a pretty
right?
that they bought $1,500 worth of stuff on a credit for them kids to play.
Is that right?
I bet you they did.
You've got some white...
Their child has so much.
Oh, I think it's harmful.
I know it is. I don't think it is because...
Just play with
Now, that oldest boy, he's large enough to be out and doing some light work with his dad.
Yeah.
Around the field.
Yeah.
You don't have to kill him, but... When I was that size, I was flying 10 hours a day behind a mule.
Yeah.
Right.
And just...
Somewhere.
Yes, a little. I don't know hardly where to find it. It was too dry.
Well, that's the trouble.
It is the trouble.
It's that darn dry.
And this is Mr. Miles.
Uh-huh.
I just caught your voice.
Yes.
How's everything really, Mr. Miles?
I was passing along there, Mr. Boyd, and I saw your cattle out here. Bunched up, and I figured somebody's out here. And I hadn't seen you in so long. I just thought I'd better just stop and.
Mighty glad to see you. I spoke one time. I looked like I'm going to have to write you. I wanted to write you to come back and so we could talk and visit.
I'll tell you the truth. I just don't know how anybody just. Gets involved in something, you know, and time passes, and
that's true.
Haven't got anything done.
That's true. Well, that's the way it is for me here. I get my mind set on certain things and try to figure out and know what I ought to think of and how to figure things in this world. And I get so busy engaged in it, so when I give up, well, I feel like I just wasted my time and kind of feel whipped out about it and didn't solve the problem.
The
problem as well as I should after all.
Well, now, that's just about, you're just about speaking for me, except I do a little something different.
I go up there to the office, you see, and I spend so much time up there, and I get involved in it, and half I do up there and we're doing, Mr. Boyd. It'd be better if I just outside sitting under the tree somewhere. Everybody, it'd be better off.
That's right.
No, them cows. Yep.
Yeah.
Them cows look pretty good.
Well, several people told me they look pretty good. I can't seem to tell much about it. I haven't been feeding a great deal, but I've been feeding them a little along. And, you know, no use to wait till the pinch comes to shove and where they're on starvation and then they lose any.
Yeah.
Right, then they can't get it back.
Yeah.
From the freeze.
Yeah.
It's gone from them, and you better make them graze out as close as you can, and if you're not lousy with money and you're going to just waste it with them, let them take it as it comes, and they're most likely to fall off a little, lose a little weight anyhow.
Yeah.
And if you don't feed too much, maybe then when the weather gets bad, you can increase it enough to where it kind of holds their own.
Yeah. I don't know. I seem like my old cows, they go down so fast. Now, as long as in the summer, you know, and they got good pasture, they'll do all right. The calves will grow.
Are they pretty well up in age?
No, they've just always done that, seem like. They go down fast, especially, I'll tell you when this is the worst. If they calve along in January, February, and no more than I can feed them, they just go down fast. I held my bull out another month this last year thinking I might help a little bit.
Yeah. That does have a lot to do with things. If a cow gets with calf early, you know, and the grass first starts to spring and the calf doesn't require so much milk and he's young. And for a few weeks. And if grass is plentiful, why, she'll gain strength, even where she gains much flesh or not, she gains strength, and she commits to pick up in the milk as the calf gets older. It's not such a strain on her, but it's a calf that's pretty old, and then it backs it to the cow, anything to hold her back, why, that's what makes her go down.
Yeah. Well, that's the worst part. The full part of the winter, I don't dread so much. I can get through that all right. But it's that that early calving that has been the hardest on me. Now, your friend over here, your neighbor, Mr. Franklin, you see, he don't do that sort of farming anymore. He buys all that. He gets that great semi loads of hay, you know.
That's right. Well, he's been growing hay. He's going ahead and saving it. He bought 6 tons over and above what he raised, I think.
Is that right?
Yes, so this time he didn't think he had enough and sent to Wilson, got 6 more tons.
Oh.
But after he saved all he had and had good luck to save it.
Uh-huh.
Good weather.
Well, he's been putting in his own hay then.
Yes, the last 2 years he's been saving it. Pretty well, but he hadn't done so much at it before that, but he had pretty good luck. Last year, it had a little rain, but it didn't wet it enough to hurt it.
No.
So I dried off. You see, that machine that kind of mashes it and squeezes all the water out of it.
Yeah.
It cuts it, why, it doesn't take long for it to dry out, kind of cure. If it hasn't got no water in it, why, a little green look doesn't mount so much.
No.
You can, like we used to do, we'd shock it, go through a little heat, why, it takes it all out and kind of unifies the hay, too. Distributes the nutriment that is in it and so forth around through it, and it gets in a little steam.
And now they sort of, they don't do that. They skip that now.
Skip that. Oh, yeah.
Well. You know, they can, they got a way of testing hay now to tell you what sort of nourishment's got in it. And, I don't know. I have bought some good hay, first and last, but I bought hay that wasn't hardly worth bringing home, you know.
No, that's right.
Just get.
Well, that's where people take the advantage of you. I got to get several times of hay. And, because I couldn't see too well and go and examine it. It's like I started to tell you that you can cut a field of hay, Mr. Miles, and if it's pretty heavy hay, I learned that way back on it. And you wait on the sunshine, you don't run a teat over it, have plenty of good clear weather and no dampness much on it. Well, it can appear to be cured, as long as the air's going through it a little. And you go there, rake that hay up, and it feels like it's dry, and shock it, put it in a barn, it can heat till it'll mold.
Yeah.
And it can even fire, it has been known to catch a fire in the barn when there's a big quantity of it. Pack it down, fire your barn, because it's just, nothing anymore called it but moisture and greenness. It just keeps on getting hotter and hotter.
Yeah.
Until it catches on fire.
Well, now.
And it destroys the food value, is to throw the whole lot too when it heats too much.
Yeah.
Cooks it.
We never have made hay so much that we'd be bothered too much like that, you see.
That's right.
We wouldn't just fill up the, we wouldn't have enough hands there, you know, to fill up the whole barn there at one time. And it sort of has a chance to cure a little bit.
Well, that's the way my father did it. He'd shock it in the field. If he thought it was going to get wet, if he didn't, why, he'd give it plenty of time to get dry and not over-cure it. And let the sun cook it, or take all the life out of it. Try to be on time, and if they rake it up, you know, and the wind rose and didn't shock it, to let it, the wind blow through it and air it some more.
Yeah.
then shock it and let it go through what heat is going to go through and load it on your wagon and put it in the barn.
You know, these rakes that they have now, we didn't have them when I was growing up. We were making hay, you know, these... And then you can get these rakes now, you know, they'll pick up, these pickup rakes.
Oh, yes.
They'll, these side delivery rakes, they call them, you know. They, that just makes them beautiful. And then you can, outfit, yeah. And then you can, if you want to, you see, you can put, that, go ahead and take that windrow and turn it over and add it to the next one, you see.
That's right.
And, you want the sun really to cure it, you can leave it thin, or else you can do it. Yeah, that's right handy.
Yes, sir. That's rake. It just rakes it kind of at an angle and rolls it over.
Yes.
And the wind rolls.
Yeah.
And never, no dumping, as you call it.
No dumping.
Just
no.
Rolls it on out.
Yeah, no dumping. I never did own one. I've used them a little bit and seen them used. But I'd love to have one of those on the place.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
it'd be right nice, fella. But I tell you, it's got so a fella can't go around and pick up a good piece of machinery, you see, at a fair price.
That's right.
You just can't do it. I don't know why, Mr. Boyd, why that is. They turn them in to the dealers.
Well, I've been looking to get some help. Give me a gate here. What caused it to be in bad shape? The old post rots off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a peculiar thing. And a man can learn as long as he lives.
Yeah.
And you take these ants come from what you call termites, wood lice, I call it all my life. Now they call them termites, and it's all the same thing. And there you can put up a line of fence, and if they just, them things will get in the post right just below the top of the ground,
mm-hmm.
where there's a little moisture.
Yeah.
They'll start eating on it, and they'll eat it all. Eat on it, and then the moisture comes, right, helps to rot it, they let the water in on it. And,
and
next thing you know, they got it eat up, and then the mold, ground mold, comes along, and he runs under the ground, right under that wire, all the way around.
Yeah.
And examine and go to every post to get to eat those termites and lice.
Oh, they do?
Yes, sir.
Well, I hadn't. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Huh.
The ants, you see, don't want to go down too much in the dampness. Let's see if I can anywhere along here. I think my stick may be too blunt on the end, but I had my walking stick. I could prove that to you in a tad minute. You see that?
Yeah.
Now that's a mole run under that.
Yeah.
He goes right down under that wire because that's the cattle don't tromp on it right under the wire, you see.
Yeah.
And he hunts the soft place and stays right along under that bottom strand of wire and go from one post to the other and eat those termites.
Yeah. The cattle don't tramp there and it'll be softer.
That's right.
Huh.
Well, every piece of fence on this place, I bet you's got a mole run under it.
Yeah.
And people don't know it.
Yeah.
They don't step there themselves and don't know it. Now, out here, you'd see that mole run, maybe step in it and mash it in. But
yeah. I can see it right there, Mr. Right over. Just
look at that.
Well, what do you know? I never noticed that.
Well, I struck farms and had several moles, and nobody never told me anything about this. I learned that myself. If you want to poison the moles on your place, that's the place to put your poison. Right on the fence row.
Yeah.
Dig in there.
Yeah.
A little and put it down under the ground and where nothing else won't bother it. And where he'll find pick it up.
It's over there just a little bit further, right there.
That's right. And it'll go up and down and when it's dry they don't travel quite so much, but they hunt those woodlice.
How long had you noticed that, Mr.
Oh, good many years.
Long time.
Years.
Long time.
And I'm the only man that knowed it. I've mentioned it to I don't know how many people and showed them. Just happened to have a stick or something in my hand. And
yeah.
If I'm standing up talking to them, man, you don't mind, I'll draw them stick down the side of the fence and there I'll find the mole. I'm out away from them over here, a hog pond or something. And they call for the fire truck, forest fire. Man tried to come through that lane, and he ought to have made it. He had no business coming in here. I wasn't here at the house. He run through that, he tore about half of that little strip of fence down, and I had my wire attached here. And he pulled this whole column out, split one or two pieces of that rubber board. I don't know what all kind of damage he done here. Won't you go in so we can have a seat in the house, Mr. Mark?
It's a good place right here.
I was going to say a few minutes ago, I was not standing up. And I had to fix it just there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It was at least $15 job. And I'm the best steward. Well, I got a nigger to come in and help me a little bit. And I don't call that a fair question, a fair proposition. You know, see, they have the authority if to control a fire, come to your fence and no way to get in.